Molt bé, i ara...
Okay, so next we move on to the last part of the session, a round table with the speakers. I'd kindly ask you to join me on stage. It's a round table to have an open discussion among participants and the audience. Whoever wants to intervene to converse about the experiences we had this morning. For that, we will have Katie Scott-Songan with us, who we already introduced. Olga Kocharuk, Rick Springer, and we also joining us will be Inma Palomar, who is the person in charge of digital media at the Contemporary Art Museum of Barcelona, where they combine strategy for digital means, and who Concha Roda, who's worked for several cultural institutions and has a pathway linked to communication, digital innovation. Also, Elena Villaspesa, the person in charge of customer experience at the Thyssen Bornemisza Museum in Madrid. Her professional pathway includes digital analysis at the Tate, the Metropolitan Museum or Washington. She has a doctorate by the School of Museum Studies of Leicester University and has worked as a professor at Pratt Institute. And we moderating this table will be Concha Roda, who you all know. Let me introduce her. She is the co-director of the International Museum and Digital Strategy Congress. She has two university masters. She was the co-director of the specialization course on digitalization for cultural institutions at the Universitat Oberta de Catalunya. And she's also been the strategy, innovation, and digital transformation manager at the MNAC, head for projects at the Picasso Museum, head of communication at the Barcelona Institute of Culture. So thank you very much, and we can now proceed.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, and welcome to you all to this roundtable. I will be speaking in Catalan, but since we have simultaneous interpretation into English and Spanish, I hope there's no problem. Okay, so the wonderful presentations we had and in the Q&A sessions, we've heard of many topics. We will try bringing up some new topics or delving into some of the things that have already been mentioned. Not everyone has to answer all of the questions, and we'll see how the conversation flows. So, in recent years, we all know that museums have experienced a deep transformation in the way in which they interact with their audiences. Visitors, users have gained a central place in museums. And we're not talking about a single audience, but a range of audiences that are very diverse. Also, the digital space, which maybe before seemed like an add-on or secondary element, has been gaining momentum and gaining protagonism, and it has become a space for interaction, creation, learning, and experiences in museum. For many years, I've been working in the industry, and now we do not have to preach on how important the digital strategy is, and we've in a hybrid environment where we do hybrid working, hybrid meetings, hybrid learning, hybrid programs, hybrid analytics, and we are all hybrid audiences. One of the challenges museums faced many years ago was how to measure and incorporate data on their online visitors, websites, networks, apps. Today, visitors mostly are both digital and in-person visitors who may use digital tools during their visit to a gallery or before or after. So this coexistence between in-person spaces and digital participation comes with many new possibilities, new ways of telling stories, new ways of engaging, new ways of measuring the impact, but they also come with a series of challenges. How do we remain coherent in the in-person and digital sphere? How to guarantee accessibility, or how we can generate a significant experience that doesn't rely solely on technology, but also the use we give to this technology? And especially relevant is the way in which we build a holistic, comprehensive visitor journey as we heard this morning. To kick off the debate, I wanted to ask a first question. So before we delve into talking about hybrid audiences, I wanted to know what you think about the way in which museums combine or hybridize the digital offers and experiences and visits to galleries. What are the tensions and challenges that emerge when a museum tries to integrate in-person and digital experiences seamlessly? What has been the most difficult challenge? Whoever wants to go first. Okay, Hima. Well, I think the fundamental challenge here is, say, that the digital isn't an add-on to the experience, and this means that together, when we start designing a project, we need to sit and think together about how we want to convey this experience to our users or visitors, and this forces us to work in a cross-cutting way with all of the content teams in the museum. In our case, let me introduce the project that Eduardo Vicente mentioned in the early part of this morning. The digital guide that we launched in April is an example of a digital tool that is geared towards that is designed to be used in physical visits in the museum. Our main challenge was content related. When talking of content, we had to look at how we could balance the engagement of the users and the depth of the content in exhibitions. There was also another whole series of formal challenges in terms of technology, and we decided to work on a web app, and we left aside the third-party apps, and the results were excellent. We've seen a 60% increase in the number of users, and well, we'll talk about analytics later, but data were telling us that one of the problems we had before in our guide is that you had to download it, and we forced visitors to download the app from the app store. It's still a free tool, but it's at a click away with a very short URL. They can access the guide in a single click. And all of this with the aim of having a narrative cohesion between the physical and digital sphere. And the added value of this guide for us has been that we were able to bring in the voices of artists and commissioners who are part of the museum's exhibition so that their voices, through their emotion and the way they tell that story about their artistic production, how we can convey this and connect with the users that are physically visiting a gallery. Thank you so much. Anyone else like to take on this question?
Yeah, I completely agree that a lot of this is down to content. And I think the way that museums have been structured over the last 20, 50 years is you have a content team, you have a curatorial or interpretation team that are responsible for content on site. And what's happened is, as you said, digital became an add-on. And then we started to think about creating digital content, and it was a separate thing, but we're starting to create all of these inefficiencies where you have a digital team developing content over here, and you have an on-site team developing content over here. And in a way, digital often requires different kinds of content than on-site content, but it's been a real struggle, I think, for museums to marry up the types of content and the way that we create content. And I think that plays a lot into creating that holistic experience because at the moment it does feel like we come at it from two different angles. And, I think that's going to be a challenge, continue to be a challenge, especially as digital content evolved, and sometimes evolved a lot quicker than traditional content that we see in museums. And yeah, I think it will continue to be a tension moving forward.
Absolutely.
I remember when we were renewing the website at the National Art Museum of Catalonia, one of the first things we did was to set up an interdisciplinary team where people from different units, including conservationists, communication, people from the admin staff, from the shop, people who had never sat together before around a table. But it was really important to listen to everyone's perspectives and to get everyone on board. Although we preach about the need to work in a cross-cutting way, it's still a big challenge in many museums.
I just remember in 2022, I was able to visit the Technopolis in Belgium, which is a really great science center. And I was there and was also to learn about their digital offers and how they interact with their audience. And I was really struck that they were able to develop an own platform to host streams to show science shows. And I was really surprised, but also they said, okay, it took a few times, like the first times the stream would crash even, but they improved over and over. So one of the things that we have to accept is, I think, that we always fail forward, and that we like, if we want to embrace the digital sphere also as a museum, then we have to accept that not everything is going to work the way we want it in the first place, but also that it takes time. And yeah, so I'm sure in the next couple of years there will be a lot happening, and we continue to be more professional about the content and the combination of both.
Thank you.
Yo estoy totalmente de acuerdo, Leonardo, respecto.
I fully agree with respect to what you mentioned, the challenges we face in internal processes, content production. I wanted to bring in another barrier, and that is how we present all of this digital content to visitors who are in the museum on site. We have content on the web, we have free Wi-Fi access, we have the activity calendar, which you can access on a QR code. We have interactive exhibitions. So we need to make sure what we offer is coherent and not to give the image that we have a different set of products for the digital and the in-person. Now we are reviewing the signposting in the Tyson Museum, and we've seen how many QR codes we have for visitors and that give access to different contents, but we have no hierarchy. So we have one for the map of the museum, another for activities. So we need to look at how we present all of this digital services and products in a museum in a coherent way and when the visitor needs them best, and which allows them to have a seamless experience. And together with this, besides the way in which we communicate all of our digital offer, to what extent would you say the digital space could change the museum's narrative or the museum's content? What would be the strategic lines we should follow so that we don't present the digital aspect as an add-on but as a comprehensive part to the museum's collections?
Belgium this time. So speaking about the cohesion of the visitor journey and also the digital engagement, again, coming back to the different entry points and the vulnerabilities of different visitor groups. So how do we build this digital connection with our audiences? I would like to bring the case from the Art Institute of Chicago. So they have an amazing thing to curate the visitor journey, which is called Journey Maker. So basically, there are two entry points for those who would like to prepare for the visit so they can just go to the website, again, choose the preferred way through the exhibition, expressing their interests, and the offer is designed for children, so they can answer what they're interested in, just in a very playful way. But then, for those who do not necessarily prepare for the visit, you can do the same on site. So they have the special gallery where you can engage with this digital platform, again, expressing your interest, and then actually print out the map with which you can go through the museum content in a very selective way. So again, you are not becoming overwhelmed with the amount of the content, and again, this combination of offers for visitors with kids and just adults. So you kind of engage in a meaningful way without being overwhelmed. So this is how the digital engagement kind of affects our experiences on site in a very meaningful way, I would say.
Thank you. Algo més? Val, doncs, lligat amb això, des del punt...
So, linked to this, from the organizational perspective of the museum, how easy or how difficult would it be for the museum staff to adapt to this new hybrid reality? Who'd like to take that question? Organizational matters are always a bit of a conflict sometimes. Yes, they are complex, I'd say. More than a difficulty, I'd say it implies a change in culture, learning to do things differently from a cross-cutting perspective, as we said before. I think at MAGBA, for instance, this cross-cutting side is in our DNA. We've been working on it for a long year. We need to improve. But in this sense, I think we're taking very interesting steps in this direction, and I think the outcomes are very interesting and enriching. Sometimes digital projects come from the digital media team, but sometimes not. Sometimes they come from the content teams, and it's all down to this dialogue to find the digital tool using the different tools, looking at how we can convey and put this idea into the digital strategy. So I'd just like to give you a couple of examples from MAGBA. One point is, you know, when looking at how we can use the digital tool in our exhibit galleries, at the end of this month we'll be opening an exhibition to celebrate 30 years of MAGBA, and within the gallery we'll have two screens that will be fed directly by our website. In one case, it will be a touch screen where you can explore the contents of MAGBA's podcasting platform. And there you will be able to go back to years of interviews with artists. And in the other case, you can watch videos of the museum's historical archives. This is a request that came from the exhibitions team to bring this into the gallery. In other cases, there are proposals coming from the digital space, such as collectibles. This was a project that we conceived of during the confinement, the lockdown during COVID-19. It was a project that emerged to try and gave our users an art capsule during the days we were under lockdown, and it evolved and is now been turned into a weekly set of information on a piece of work, an artist, or a group of artists. It's a wonderful way to share the archives of the museum. We have around 6,000 pieces of art in our archives, and we can make them known to our audience.
I recall from working in the Neanderthal Museum when we had a project called the Virtual Ice Age Experience. It was about creating a game, but user-centered. But we also had a workshop, or the initiating workshop was conducted with the whole team and users together. And I found that when we included the team and the relevant stakeholders, the acceptance of this endeavor would always increase, and we didn't have to argue so much for the funding and so on. So this is really important for if you want to save time, especially when you have small teams, and also aspects or like design thinking or so. These methods can be done in the team, and they can be done analog, but for a digital prototype, for example, and everybody is working together. And because of that, I think the commitment to the product that is delivered, if it's digital, if it's analog, it's analog, but the commitment is always there. So that was just from my experience.
Thank you. Casey?
I wanted to add an example from the V&A recently, where there's actually having digital technologies has provided an opportunity to change the way that on-site content is created and integrated. And we recently opened a museum called V&A East Storehouse. We opened in May of this year, and it's essentially the archives that had been previously stored away. There's a purpose-built building now where people can actually go and see things in storage, essentially. And so there wasn't any traditional like cases where people would display objects, but you can see all the objects. And obviously, curators and interpretation teams, there were no way they were going to create labels for every single object in the entire collection. But they saw the opportunity from a digital perspective to be really flexible with the way that they showcased the pieces. And so they actually created on the ends of the aisles our little mini displays that an archivist, if they find something interesting, could just put it there. And then there's a QR code, and they create the content online, so they don't have to print a label or anything like this. And so on any given day, they can change what's being displayed, and they can change the content quite easily. So it became an opportunity for them, and they approached the digital team to say, how can we do this? And so it's a case of QR codes again, but now, of course, the challenge, the other side of this, is that the building itself is horrible with Wi-Fi. So no matter how much Wi-Fi we put in the building, it acts as a Faraday cage, and there's just really complicated with the Wi-Fi. So we're currently working out how to help people actually access the content from the QR codes. But I think that was a really interesting way to start to think about on-site content differently, because it enabled the archivists and the curators to really get involved and not have to think so long-term, but could just create things. And then we had Kate Middleton, the princess, show up and curate one of the end aisles, and she wrote all of the labels, and we had that up for a week and then moved on. But, so I think there's opportunity as well.
I wanted to share a couple of remarks. In each museum I've worked, there was a project to redesign the website of the museum, always. And what I've seen in this process of redesigning website is that it's important to understand the importance of the website, audience studies, usability, analytics for the change, and less resistance to certain things that at the beginning of my career were more difficult to change, such as the landing page or the homepage. The challenge now we all want digital content. Some departments want to upload the content on the website. So when we come to the stage of measuring the impact, which is what I do, how to help them to define goals, targets that they can assess. What has been the real impact of my content or data? When you say 1,000 visits, is that good? Is that bad? How do we assess it? That's the challenge for me now. How to work as a team and see what has more impact, less impact, and how we assess data. And all this takes us in the digital transformation environment, takes us to talk about digital abilities, because there are new tasks coming up: digitalization, 3D immersive reality, artificial intelligence, generative AI, analytics, digital strategies. In general, do you think that museum professionals are well equipped to face the digital challenge? What would we need to do? Who dares to answer the question? Okay, you go first. Everything you mentioned and artificial intelligence, we can talk about that. It's a challenge that we have in our institutions, not at our doorstep. We saw it coming, but maybe we didn't understand the full scope. People who work in digital media are people with lots of curiosity, smart people that they have the ability to self-learn, that they want to learn more. But the reality is that there are so many areas that it's difficult that a team can have all these professional profiles. And particularly when we talk about the small or medium-sized museums, in my team, it's just two people. So it's difficult. It is true that we have a network and we share a lot in that network, not within our museum, but with other museums. We exchange opinions with other museums, and it's very enriching. But it's a challenge. That's the reality. And I would say that beyond digital departments, because this is a cross-cutting issue. And today we think that everyone needs to have some digital knowledge, and museums might be experts in their knowledge, but not on how to create digital narratives or how to build virtual or immersive realities. Yes. Sometimes when we feel comfortable is what you were saying. We preach, we explain what will be the advantages of a given technological option. But it's many things. We have sometimes big teams and sometimes very specialized teams. And here I would like to say something else. We don't have here the general director anymore, but I would say that there is a lack of training in digital knowledge for a heritage specialist. There is training in 3D, but we would need a more widespread digital training that I think it does not exist here in Catalonia. And I think the public administration could offer, together with universities, this digital training. It is true that the person who wants and who has the energy and the motivation can access to many options of self-training, and many of them are free. But here we're talking about someone who feels motivated or has the time to access to this self-training offer. But I think it would be something good that the public authorities offered this digital training for all museum professionals, and then maybe a more specialized digital training for more specialized workers in museums. I don't know if you can add something. And if not, we're coming to a question I really want to ask. I would like to ask about artificial intelligence. And it's a double-edged question. What's the role of artificial intelligence in the experience of hybrid audiences? Does artificial intelligence improve that experience or makes it worse? What's the role of artificial intelligence in knowing audiences and assessing the impact of the hybrid offer given by museums? How can artificial intelligence change the way we see and measure digital visits? What does it mean that people don't have to go to look for information to the museum website, but rather artificial intelligence offer the information the person is looking for? And Elena, I would like to ask you, because in October you presented a trend at the conference that museums are experiencing a reduction of visits by 20% or 30%, less visits of museum websites, because people find the answers in ChatGPT, or artificial intelligence provides them with the answer. Can we find new ways of attracting the interest of users that are using external platforms right now, or are moving to external platforms? I'm going to start. I recommend to check your digital analytics, because probably the visits to your website will go down or have gone down. We have new tools now that measure, like Google search did it. We have tools that sees how many times you appear mentioned by artificial intelligence. So it's a way of measuring the traffic generated outside our platforms. Because when we write the report for 2025 in a couple of months, it is something that will have to be mentioned, justified, or measured. Another trend we have seen and we have implemented at the Thyssen Museum: when visitors are on site, what have they used to learn about the painting? Because it's a hybrid visitor, have they scanned the QR code to access the website? Have they used the audio guide, or have they used ChatGPT or an artificial intelligence device? And we've seen now 6% of visitors do that. You can say, I'm in front of that painting and I'm going to ask ChatGPT to summarize that long with, and ChatGPT will do it with all the resources available in the internet. So it's very important to understand how visitors look for information, because it's different to use ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, or browsers. So now we are, and that's important for us, how we position our content on Google or in other browsers, apart from ChatGPT. It's difficult. And going back to your first question, Concha, there are many possibilities, but there are many risks as well. Artificial intelligence is good to personalize the visit, what Elena was saying. But what's the role of museums as a content generator? Artificial intelligence is providing with content and content coming from different sources. And we do not have any project involving artificial intelligence, but we have doubts at an ethical level also that if we wanted to do that, we would be feeding the IA with content created and curated by our museum. We are using artificial intelligence to analyze data. We're doing that. Data that otherwise we would need an expert to interpret them, and artificial intelligence help us to interpret and connect data. And concerning visits, we are experiencing that there are less visits to our website. You were saying 20-30% reduction? Yeah, and that's a lot. That's a lot. We will have to justify in our yearly report. And what do we do as an institution? What can we do? And particularly from the digital media department, I think that we will have to do SEO with browsers, with artificial intelligence. We have to see how our data are interpreted and make them easier, and maybe use richer snippets and other technologies that we used at a certain point and we should introduce again in our website. Elena, you know more about that, but there is a talk about the evolution that we have to think about artificial intelligence that is looking for information in museums' website. It's true that the visits to museum websites are going down, and probably the trend will continue, and that can be a little frightening. But maybe through artificial intelligence, we're reaching out to audiences that would never visit our websites and now are getting information from our website. And I would like to ask our audience, the people who are here, and you are working at a museum, do you have a pilot project involving artificial intelligence, whether it is for analyzing data or project with a collection? Is there a museum or a cultural organization doing a project with artificial intelligence? Hello. At the UOC, we have just launched a project called The Voice of UOC. We've done a project with the Ashulok community. We have recorded voices from all the collective, all the groups of the university. And when you hear all the voices, it represents like a song representing to all the groups at the UOC University. It's a project that it has taken 2 years. We have worked with Ashulot Collective, and Maria Arnal has participated in the last stage of the project. And we presented the project a few days ago. It was very emotional, and that goes with a reflection of the identity of the voice and how we use artificial intelligence as a tool to record these collective voices. It's been a very interesting project. Museum? Is there a museum working on an AI project? Yeah, one, two. Hello, my name is Maria Caché from the Catalan Agency of Cultural Heritage and in the group of museums and gender. We publish a guide on how to implement the feminist approach in museums. And to explain how the guide works, we are using artificial intelligence to show the gender bias that exists when we want to introduce a new object in the museum, and we use the narrative coming from AI for a given historical period. And the image that artificial intelligence gives us when we ask, for instance, give me an image of the Roman society. Well, probably the image given by the IA has a tremendous bias. So we use the image to see how we can use the guide to implement the feminist approach in museums. And little by little, we work on this activity with a cooperative, and it's going to be presented at the annual conference we will organize next year in February at the History Museum, if you're interested. Very interesting. I am interested. And I think there was another museum. Yes, my name is Kim Modenas of the Monument Areas of the Catalan Heritage Department, but I'm talking as a member of the accessibility group. And this is something new. It's a pilot project, small one. A group of people visually impaired, and it's for museums or venues with less resources in order to use artificial intelligence to generate audio description. It is something we have talked about. If we had more resources, we would also like, in a human way, to say it, to carry out audio description. But there are many institutions with very few resources. And we are exploring the possibilities and the resources offered by the artificial intelligence when it comes to audio description. Very interesting. And personalization, customization, and here accessibility is very important, and artificial intelligence can help. But on the other hand, also, it's true, maybe the digital gap or divide is important, and many people who do not have access to artificial intelligence can be marginalized, but it's true that AI can help when we talk about accessibility. And we have two more cases. Sonia. Thank you. My name is Sonia Blasco, head of the museum's department. And concerning what you were mentioning about artificial intelligence, we do not have any project, but we are preparing ourselves so we can work with artificial intelligence applied to the documentation of Catalan museums, because as Kim was saying, not all museums can have a team of people, not even a small one. And as you know, Catalan museums, the vast majority are small museums or medium-sized museums. And we know that AI works with large amount of data. And museums have collections. So the documentation, the data, the collection data are very important, and we need to work with them. And A challenge that Catalan museums have is the change of the software. Many museums use Museum Plus, which is an obsolete software. We needed to change the software, and we're working so the new software that it's going to be chosen to manage the museum collections is the software that all museums in Catalonia are going to be using. So if you are a registered museum, you will be able to work with a software which is going to use a common corpus for all museums. Then if you're a MACBA or MNAC, you can go beyond and do something more. But all Catalan museums will have access to this software with unique data. So a small and big museums will have access to this software with structured information that will allow also to connect with what's happening in the world. We think that that's a very important and basic project because everything is changing, and it's changing very quickly. And museums have to have a minimum level. So from this direction for museums, we want everyone to be on an equal foot, or that at least all Catalan museums had a minimum basis. And Concha, you were talking about training. Training is very important. And I think not everyone at the museum needs to know about everything, because that's impossible. We need to have some criteria, and we have to talk to each other and maybe ask for help. But training, probably we need a specific training. The Spanish Ministry of Culture provided a free training to digitally train people who work on cultural heritage. It was the central government who did it, and we disseminated the news through our newsletter. We sent the information to all museums in Catalonia because we thought it was a good opportunity, and it was a free training. And I know that they offer this training. I don't know the result of it, but I know what I know for sure is that the Spanish Ministry of Culture was offering this possibility of training. That was a good initiative. It was short. It was online training, accessible. I think that there will be a new edition of this training in November, and that would be the last one. Yeah, but it was a good initiative. I think that you had another example. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jordi Medina. I come from the Culture Department. When you asked the question first, it didn't come to mind, but then I remember there are many projects and European funds. So from the institutions, we carry out many projects, and two projects came to mind. There is a project done with archives, led by the Direction of Archives, and it analyzes data concerning audiences, researchers, and data are gathered concerning museums, collections, and how audiences engage and use of audiences. So audiences prototypes are created, and how we adapt to these audience prototypes. And from the archives, it's easier to identify users, because when someone goes to an archive, it gives the ID, and you know if it's the same user that comes back. When we talk about museums, it's more difficult because we don't know if it's the same user coming back to the museum. but we have a data collection when there are experiments with artificial intelligence. It's always like that. We have the data, let's put it there. It's as if we were cooking. Put it there and let's see what comes out. And another experience with the research department had to do with the fact that they needed projects to experiment with artificial intelligence, and it was funded by the European Union. And one thing could be audio guides in museums, and that started, evolved quickly in time. And if we started now, maybe the result would be different. But we have to say that the Catalan language is not as evolved as other languages in the world, so the experiment had many flaws. So artificial intelligence, we said, create an audio guide for the museum and let's see the result. We didn't want to include all the monuments of the city of Barcelona. We said, let's try to find small venues in small places. And the result was that when there is no information, artificial intelligence makes up things and gives data that are not right. So we have lots of work to do. What we wanted is that what we saw is that maybe we have to generate the content and the artificial intelligence will be the one to create different audio guides according to different audiences, but we have to generate the content. These are the experiences I wanted to share and say that we have lots of things to do.
Thank you so much. And it is true. AI feeds on data. If there is no data, it hallucinates, it makes things up. And you need data that are quality data. This is where, from a museum, if we feed our contents, then the results you get from AI will be higher quality. Sonia. Hi. I wanted to add another use that is being used more and more so in Catalan Museum, and that is a simpler use, but it's very practiced, and it is to draft texts on exhibitions. It may seem obvious, but if one thing AI is good at doing is drafting, writing, so adapting text. So let's say, okay, I want to adapt this text for a family audience, or write it in a more colloquial language. And for that, we can use AI. And it's an easy and practical use of AI, I think. Thank you all very much for your participation. And we'd have like a final round, maybe, with some concluding remarks from our panelists. So we're talking of future trends and scenarios. Let's look into the future. Which priorities or which lines of action would you say our priority? What would you recommend? What do you think of the digital museum, the combination of physical and digital? Digital, how do you see digital museums in 5 to 10 years? If you dare to take a risk, or if you have any fears or any hopes as how this could be, it'll be the final round of interventions. Well, we have to look into the looking glass to see, and we'll have to meet again in 5 years' time to see whether we are right or not. Well, I imagine a more open museum, a museum where the frontiers between the digital and physical world are blurred out, and where everything is a smoother, seamless experience, I'd say. When it comes to AI, of course, this will have a big impact in the years to come. And as I said before, we don't know exactly how it'll develop, but for sure it'll have a big impact on museums in the short and mid-term.
I would say that I think 5 to 10 years from now, we'll see visitors being able to see, have a lot more personalized experiences, and they'll be able to control the way that they navigate a museum. But I also see that museums will have much less control over how visitors experience their spaces. And so I think, yeah, I think it will be really interesting, and I think it will be maybe unpredictable in a lot of ways, because there hasn't really been an opportunity for visitors to just run free with how they consume content. And so it will be really interesting to see how our visitors, or potentially even different or new visitors who have who through digital have been able to have more accessibility to our collections, how they interpret and how they create their own experiences. But I can see potentially us learning more from them about how to build experiences.
I would also like to bring in the topic of innovation and how we think about the innovation. So we necessarily associate it with the digital endeavors we do, but actually a very interesting trend that we spotted, and which one of our museums shared with us, that the pickup rate of the newsletter is rising for some reason. And the institution was so surprised that this traditional and maybe in some way old-fashioned way of the communication is a reliable source in the times of AI, that they actually base their digital platform on this need of their visitors. So thinking about the innovation, maybe we need to also not be restricted by the digital endeavors and undertakings we would like to take, but also consider some different touch points, like this sensory physical engagement, and like offering really the space for different perspectives of our visitors, like opening the floor to them and sharing what they see our institutions would look like in 5 years.
Other times I've been asked this question. Now is the, because of AI, I find it harder to say, but on a more general level, when you look at the statistics of visitors from different museums around the world, since COVID, some museum has recovered the number of visitors from pre-COVID, others haven't, especially when it comes to new audiences and young visitors. This is a question I always have. There's a US statistic that says when you lose an older visitor, you get a new visitor, but not a complete visitor, 0.87 younger visitors. So I don't know what the future audience will be in the museums, but of course AI will have an impact on this experience from a more specific perspective related to my work on data analysis and visitor data. I think AI has a huge potential. Right now I'm working to implement a CRM in the Thyssen Museum with personalized emails, and I see opportunities as to how these AI tools may help us to segment our visitors more automatically, to do more automated tasks for things that we did manually before, like categorizing and coding answers. And then tools like Google Analytics, you can go and ask Google Analytics and it can pull out a ready-made analysis. So when it comes to my work, I think AI will have an impact, and it'll make the use of these tools more democratic and make them available to more people in museums beyond those of us working with data specifically.
I want to touch upon that, what Casey said. I think we can learn the most from the visitors. And from my perspective as well, to measure the engagement with our digital offers, with our websites and so on. So, and it's going to be different, right? Because when people look up information on ChatGPT, they don't interact the same way as if they did with Google. So how can we measure that? What do we do? What can we find out? So, and I'm really, really excited to see what's going to happen with the tools and what you're going to find out with your work as well. Because there's a different way we talk to ChatGPT, for example, when we look for information, and how are we able to kind of extract that information? How can we compare the data we get from different AI models, and what does that tell us about our visitors? And yeah, so I'm really excited. So I don't have an answer, but more questions.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to draw your attention to a couple of resources. One, I think, is on the program of the Observatory, the NEMO report, which has a roadmap to guide museums of any size to integrate digital audience measurement. It's a great report. And the other tool is the QZEUM. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but I encourage you to read them and follow them. They have a very active blog and many reports. One of these reports is the Hybrid Museum Report in two volumes, which is also very interesting. And one of the graphs in the report is what are the most popular hybrid offers to the audiences. I think they're valuable tools. And I don't know if we have time for a question? No? Okay. Well, to wrap up, I am firmly convinced that by combining digital action and in-person action, museums will come out stronger, and hybridizing the programming, the content, the formats, the services, I'd say, will help us to improve the social impact and relevance of museums. Museums are and will become more digital, but in-person visits will continue to play an irreplaceable role. So that's all on our side. Thank you very much to our panelists. Thanks to the Observatory, to Magba, and to all of you. You've been a great audience. Thank you. Okay, and now to conclude this seminar, we will hear from Sonia Blasco, the head of Museum Services and Protection of Assets of the Catalan Regional Government. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, I'd also like to thank, as everyone has done, but a heartfelt thanks to the Observatory of Audiences of Cultural Heritage and the Catalan Institute for Cultural Heritage Research for once again organizing this event, the 10th edition. Congratulations. It's been a really enriching session. Thanks to Magba for hosting us. Thanks to all of the speakers for sharing your expertise and experience and your challenges and questions with us. And thank you to all of you who are here or following us online. Today we have talked of audiences, we've placed audiences at the center, we are referring to hybrid audiences, all of us are hybrid, and we've heard of COVID, and it's true, since COVID-19 many changes have happened. It changed our way of working, we had to learn to do many new things, our expectations and the expectations of visitors changed, and just as our society is changing, museums are changing and need to adapt to change. Today, throughout the different presentations, we have Casey told us on how important it is to know about these hybrid visitors and what are the methods that can be applied to improve our services and products. Olga Kusharuk also shared the museum model, the holistic visitor journey model. And then we also heard about experiences from Bristol Museums and Neanderthal Museum. Sorry for mispronouncing this, thank you. And then we had a round table where Concha Roda, together with all of the speakers, Elena Villaspesa, Ima Palomar, and others have shared your impressions and your doubts with us. And All of this will be uploaded onto the website of the observatory, where you'll be able to revisit everything we've said. And I'd like to highlight a few messages. It's difficult to summarize, but I'm sure that with all of the opportunities that come with this in terms of connecting to our visitors, in terms of improving our visitors' experience and having data to know what happens and to make changes to our proposals, I'd also like to highlight something that has been repeated several times, and that this is true for large museums, but also for small museums. And I truly appreciate the perspective of Xavier and Concha, where through your questions, you have asked us how we can implement this in practical terms for large and small museums. Of course, we are living times of change. All of you have said that now we're hybrid, but this hybridization is on the rise for sure. But certain things do not change, and you said this too. Feelings, emotions, how to connect to our audiences through emotion, the connection with people. We use emotions and surprise. This will always work. Also, the need to listen to others and seeing what our visitors are doing. You are saying we can do many things, but we can also stop and witness what they do and watch what they do while they visit our museums and listen into their conversations. And another thing that was said, we can gather a lot of data, but besides having information, most importantly, we need to know what are the relevant questions to develop our strategy. It's important now, and it's always been important, and it always will be. So I think it's been today's session has been really interesting, because at the end of the day, we arrived and we left with some answers, but with many more questions than before. And I think this is thrilling, and it's striking to see how much curiosity there is in the room. But it also comes with fear. What will museums working on with a very small team of not even two people, what can we do? Well, you gave some ideas through training. We don't need to know a lot of everything, but we need to know the basics to understand what's happening and where the world is headed. And you also said working together. Working together in teams, because the approach of many of us who work in museums is the view of older people. We have grown older, it's true, but we also have young people around us, and we can combine our experience with your new, fresh perspective. And as we also said, I think this strengthens us, and I am sure that the museums of the future, if we continue working interdisciplinary way and in an interconnected way, if we do things right and we work together, we will be stronger. And I fully agree with what Concha said. It's an opportunity. It's not only an opportunity, it's an obligation. There is no other way forward. It's all very interesting. So we'll have to see where all of this leads us to. We don't know yet, but we will be expectant and on the lookout. Thank you very much.